Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends, there was a young boy at the end of the escalator standing there looking a little bit bewildered. An elderly woman walked up to him and said, "Son, are you lost?" The boy looked at her kind of puzzled and says, "No, I'm just waiting for my gum to come back around." Waiting. In Nebraska, we're good at waiting. Now, it's been a couple weeks since Coach Riley was let go, and thus we waited. Names were floated, things were said, promises were put forth, but nothing came. And then finally, we found out that the frost warning has come. Waiting is all about being a part of the church. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, the first Sunday of a new year. And that means only one thing. We went through a whole year and Jesus still hasn't come back. 2,000 years and more have passed and still the same thing. Promises are made, but yet promises are yet not quite fulfilled. And so the church waits. The military, they have a term for that. It's called hurry up and wait, my dad always told me. You just stand there and wait, soldier. But the question is, are you disappointed? I don't mean in the hiring of Scott Frost, but I mean, are you disappointed that Christ hasn't come and here I am preaching yet another First Sunday in Advent sermon? Admit it, you're really not, are you? See, the fact of the matter is, if you're like most people, we don't really want the world to end. See, we're kind of used to it here. Yeah, it's kind of evil and there's a lot of bad stuff that happens, but hey, guess what? It's home. This is where we live. And the idea of our own death kind of frightens us, let alone the end of the whole world and things I can't even understand with that trumpet blast and Jesus coming back and all that judging stuff going on. No way. Save it for another day, Lord. Just keep it to yourself. So if we don't talk about it, it's not a problem. Because in the end, He'll come back when He's ready. And I'm not going to be disappointed. But wait a minute, isn't there more to it than that? Isn't there things in this world that you enjoy that you don't really want to come to an end? Now, for parents, young parents, it's raising a children. You want to raise your children and see them graduate and get married and have a family, and you can be called grandma or grandpa. Well, you're probably not thinking that right now, but those thoughts will come. Now, if you're a grandparent, you're thinking, I want to watch my grandchildren grow and get married and have children of their own, and I'm not really ready for the world to end. Others say, I've got a career to work on. I just got a promotion. Hold off, Jesus. Others will say, I just started retirement. All those years of saving, and now you're going to come back now when life finally becomes easier? Or wait a minute. Christmas is coming. Don't come before Christmas, Jesus, because finally, after all these years, I've got the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. And when you come back, you're going to ruin the whole thing. See, I still have memories of my seminary days. And I remember as a graduation approached, I kept thinking to myself, Jesus, don't come back until I'm an ordained and installed servant of the word, because I want to have the chance to preach, because all this work in Greek and Hebrew and this dogmatics, I just want to stand in a pulpit somewhere and be somebody's pastor, if only for one Sunday. Please just wait. I actually thought that. Looking back now, it seems kind of silly, but the reality was, at the time, it was a concern. In the same way, the things of the world are a concern for each and every one of you today. But the truth is, as much as the church talks about the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the church year, we really don't give it much thought. Have you thought about it all that much? We had all those Sundays wrapping up to the end of the church here. The 10 virgins and all the other things. And it was all, the end of the world's coming. Then you show up on the first Sunday in Advent and said, see, I told you He wouldn't come. He hasn't come yet. And so therefore, will He ever? Now, if you're not disappointed that Christ has returned, you don't have much in common with the Jews of the Old Testament, because each year that passed, or the Jews of Isaiah's time, since each year it passed, they were disappointed because they waited in eager expectation of the revealing of the return. And God's rallying around and liberating them from former rule and providing them freedom. Even the Corinthians to which Paul wrote to, they also wrote, Paul wrote, eagerly waiting for the revealing. Revealing in Greek is the apocalypse, the return, the coming of Christ. They were excited about it, but in the church today, not so much. We don't like talking about it, and quite honestly, when it gets here, it'll get here, but until then, I really don't care, Pastor. Now, my question for you today is, what would it take to change your mind? What would it take for you to eagerly look forward to Jesus coming back and not being willing to wait another minute, let alone another hour? What would it be like if you were like the Jews of Isaiah's day or the Corinthians that Paul wrote to? What would it be like if you were like them? Maybe you would be excited about the coming of Christ if you were in prison. Yeah, in prison without the possibility of parole. You're going to languish all your life there. Would you be excited about Jesus coming back? No, let's make it worse. You're on death row and the day's coming. Would you be disappointed that Christ hasn't returned when the end of the church year comes or any time throughout the year? Because Christ's return means one thing. The sentence is not going to be carried out because I'm forgiven by Christ's blood. There's new life for me. Would it change your mind then? I know what you're thinking, Pastor, I'd never do anything to get into prison. Okay, let me give you another sentence. Terminal illness that doesn't quite terminate and end your life, it just makes you suffer endlessly. The return of Christ would mean that there's healing and life, no more tears, mourning, or crying, and all that stuff. Would you be disappointed that Christ never came back today? Still didn't hit you, did I? How about if you have an overwhelming debt you could never repay? And you're hounded day after day after day. Would you be disappointed that Christ never returned? Or how about if ISIS terrorism was infiltrating our community and bombers were walking in here in order to be a martyr and to kill as many of us as they can? Would you look forward to Jesus' return then? Or what if there's rioting like we've seen in other parts of America and stores are looted, your store, and your house is burnt, your car is turned over and set on fire? Would you look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ? Would you get to the point you'd say, come Lord Jesus, come now, come quickly? Well, I'm not going to pray that any of those things happen. However, every Advent, we are reminded that all of that stuff, just as I just described, is exactly the situation that you and I are in spiritually, whether we know it or not. That's right. You and I have a disease called sin, and that sin puts us right in the center of death row. The judgment's going to be given, and the sentence is going to be carried out, and our life is going to end in a not-so-pleasant way eternally. Suffering will befall us. Satan terrorizes you every day, whether you know it or not. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He would do anything to strip your faith from you. The spiritual rioting that you undergo is the spiritual rioting of anger and bitterness and rebellion against God and against each other. It's all around you. Don't you see it? Jesus not coming again means that we'll have yet another year of amassing more debt that we can't pay for. Another year of doing what our Lord has forbidden us not to do. Another year of not doing the things that He has commanded us to do. And maybe that has caused you to look at yourself or to look at the world and wonder, when is it going to get any better? Oh, so we go to the ballot box and we vote for our favorite candidate, and this candidate's going to change everything. Really? I don't know if you've noticed, but no matter who the president is or who's your senator or representative, they're all sinners all the way to the bone. They can't fix it any more than you and I can. No amount of bullets or threats or diplomacy is going to change the world in which we live in. It gets worse day by day by day. And the church cries out, come, Lord Jesus, when will you return? So what do we do? What's the answer? Well, Pastor, I got my bunker in my basement, enough food for a year, and I'm armed to the hilt. I'm good. Or I'll just bug out when the end comes. No, during this Advent season, we turn our eyes towards the only one who can help. The only one. Not that haven't been looking at him all year long. We seek him every time for that forgiveness of sins, that strengthening of our faith, and for that wisdom that surpasses and that peace that surpasses all human understanding. But during Advent, it's a little bit different. Because Advent means coming, and we begin to think to ourselves, Christ's coming for the redemption of my soul. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love singing the Advent hymns. This hymns like, O come, Emmanuel. Or, Savior of the nations come. We love it. We love singing them. We pray in our calling prayer today that, Lord, you'd stir up your power and come. And that the Holy Spirit would come and stir up our hearts to repent. Great prayer. We'll pray it here, but maybe not so much at home. But the idea is we fix our eyes upon the promised one. The one has made the promise he'll come again. And how do we do that? We begin to look back when Jesus came that first time. They had waited and waited and waited generation after generation, and no Jesus, no Messiah. But finally, in the fullness of time, Jesus came wrapped in human flesh, be under the law on our behalf to ultimately go to the cross. But along the way, you heard it in the gospel lesson for the day. Jesus Christ, it talks about Palm Sunday when he rode up to Jerusalem. And I tell you what, his steed ought to tell you something. That foal, the colt of a donkey, not the ride of a king. A king would come in on a rippling muscle stallion, prancing and chomping at the bit. But not Jesus. He comes with a colt, the foal of a donkey. Are you kidding me? You can't find a better ride than that, Jesus. Those that gathered around should give you a notice about who Jesus is as well, because he doesn't have soldiers with bows and spears and swords. He has people with palm branches throwing their cloaks on the ground in front of him. And what they're saying should say something too, because he doesn't have a mighty army rallying around him, shouting out the great war cries. He has people saying, Hosanna, save us, Hosanna in the highest. Now the people then didn't understand the significance of what Jesus was doing. Ironically, not even his own disciples, but that didn't change the fact that Christ was coming to be a sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. You know, just like today, most of them were probably looking to be saved from the problems and the fears of the world in their day. Lord, save us from the Romans. Or Lord, just give me bread on my table. Or Lord, provide for my family. Or heal me, Jesus. They probably shouted the same words the way we do. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Because they wanted Jesus to restore the kingdom of Israel on earth. They wanted Israel to rule the neighborhood like never before. Just as we often want Jesus, a Jesus who will be that king, that kind of king that stops rioting and stops wars and stops hatred and helps us to live in a world of peace. Isn't that really what we want? We want world peace. Now, there's nothing wrong or bad about any of those things, but Jesus didn't come to be that kind of king. Jesus Christ came to be the kind of king who would bring eternal peace, not earthly peace. Jesus Christ came that we may have life and have it to the full. He came that we may have forgiveness of all of our sins, no matter how grotesque they may be. See, our cry is still the same. Hosanna, save us. But our king doesn't go to sit on the throne. Our king goes to hang upon a cross. For it's there that he gives his life as a sacrifice for us. And what a joy that is. So Advent proclaims to us in the church, behold, your King is coming to you now, just as he promised. And he will come again. He will come just as he promised and as he did before. In the sermon hymn you sang today, O Lord, how shall we meet you? Well, come to meet him the same way he came to meet you. Not in strength, but you come forth in humility. Bring your sins to the one to whom you cry out, Hosanna, save us. And he takes them upon his own flesh and he suffers and dies that you may have life and have it to the full. Come and receive the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ under bread and wine and mind you, not even the best wine. And kind of ordinary, mundane bread, but it's there that Christ says, here I am in all my strength and all my power and all my glory, not only to forgive you, but to give you strength to live out your days in this world until I return in glory. Yet today as we gather in this place, I wonder, are we really disappointed? Are you disappointed that Jesus didn't show up like last week sometime or the week before? Will you be disappointed the more if Christ doesn't return? Well, as you leave this place, you return back into the world where there is terrorism. Satan terrorizes you every day. You return back into the world where there is death and there's sorrow and there's all the sin that sees around us. But we go back in the world in joy because we have a King who's coming. A King who comes to judge the living and the dead and to usher us into an eternal kingdom where there is no end. Amen. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.